Hello and welcome to Ancient and New, a Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Lee Younger from Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And this week on the show, we're going to start a little journey through the Gospel of Mark. It'll work like this. For every chapter in Mark's Gospel, we will look at one episode. We're going to zoom in on one scene in each chapter and look at Jesus. Some of this may seem to be basic and familiar, but hopefully it will also feel fundamental, foundational, and important. This week, we're going to look at Jesus and the leper in chapter 1, Jesus and the paralytic in chapter 2, and Jesus choosing his 12 apostles in chapter 3. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you could make me clean." And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Do you feel like you have the right to ask Jesus to help you? Are you in any position to expect that he would want to deal with your issues? Does Jesus want to be around folks like you? Does he care about people that have your past, your stories, or a heart like yours? What if all the junk you feel in your life were obvious to everyone? Like, what if you wore your brokenness on your skin like a disease? Would Jesus want to be near you? I think so many of us don't get real with Jesus because we're afraid of those questions. Sure, we go to a church and maybe a small group of some kind. Some of us even help out with a ministry. But the truth is, we don't always feel all that connected to Jesus. And if we were to really spill our guts on why that is, I bet it would have something to do with guilt. We don't feel worthy to be around Jesus. We don't feel that it's appropriate for us to be our true selves around him. I think we sometimes think that if we were honest about who we are and who we've been, Jesus wouldn't want anything to do with us. I bet you felt that way before. I know I have. The real question is, what if we're wrong about that? Jesus loves you and me as we are. No matter how messed up we've been or how bad or broken we think we are. He loves you and he wants to know you. If you know him, your past is gone and you are new, clean, and his. And not only does he have the power to help you, but he actually wants to help you. He wants to reach into the mess of your life and change you, heal you. What if Jesus sees all your struggles, problems, and pain as clear as day, as clear as if you were wearing it like a disease, but loves you anyway? What if he knows it all completely and yet cares deeply? What if he wants to help someone like you? One time a man came to Jesus who was covered in a disease that made him feel gross and isolated. He was an outcast, and he was a mess. He told Jesus, "I know you can heal me, but I don't know if you would want to." Jesus said he did want to, and then reached out to touch this guy. Jesus didn't just heal him. He put his hands on this broken and lonely man. If you have a past that makes you feel isolated and polluted, Jesus wants to help you. He wants to reach into whatever your life has been and touch your heart with all the love in his. You are exactly the person Jesus wants to be near. Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Everyone is hiding. We all have things in our past and things in our thoughts we hope no one ever finds out. We have attitudes and episodes we're ashamed of that we don't let anyone see. However we look on the outside, there is a much more accurate and much messier version of us beneath the surface. In fact, if you were to ask 10 people who know you well what your biggest problem is, they might not even get close to the truth. Why is that? Why do we hide? Are we ashamed? Are we embarrassed? Are we afraid that we're the only one like us and that if someone found out the truth, we'd be rejected? I guess the real answer probably has a little bit of all those reasons sprinkled in somewhere. There is one who already knows the things you hide, and he has already decided to accept you no matter what. Jesus knows every corner of your heart. In fact, he not only sees everything, but he sees the motivations behind all your thoughts and actions. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you hide, and he loves you still. He is patient and filled with compassion for you. What's more, he wants to help you. He wants to offer you hope that things can be different. And he wants to heal you. One time, some people brought a man to Jesus who was paralyzed. And it was obvious to everyone in the room that this man's biggest problem was his paralysis. But Jesus ignored that at first. He looked at this man and said, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus was saying that under the surface of things, this guy had a lot of guilt and shame about his past. Jesus went straight for that hidden problem and dealt with it first. Later on, he worked out the paralysis. Whatever you have hidden deep inside you, Jesus knows, and he cares. He's ready to dive in with that and deal with what's really bothering you. If there's anything holding you back from talking to Jesus about your real problem, leave it on the shelf and try being open with him. Let Jesus in behind the curtain. Mark 3:13-19. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To him he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder; Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. If you were going to assemble a team of people to change the world, who would make it onto your short list? It would probably be the best and the brightest, right? Wouldn't you want some billionaire business folks, gifted engineers, young visionaries, experienced public speakers, a few superheroes, maybe even Robert Downey Jr. for good measure? As you think about how fun it would be to assemble your own grand council of global rejuvenation, I have a question for you that is really important. Are you on that council? Would you ever put yourself on that list? Would you ever think in a million years that you could be just the person to change the world? In Mark chapter 3, Jesus chose 12 guys to be his students. He was going to spend years training them to be just the guys he wanted them to be. The funny thing about the group of men he chose is that they were not a dream team of blue chip draft picks. These guys were just normal folks. In fact, some of them were backwoods, small-town wage earners with no education or experience. Some of them had terrible reputations. Some of the guys actually hated each other with a furious passion. They were a bunch of rejects and misfits that did not belong together in any way. The weird thing is that this motley bunch of, well, losers changed the history of the world forever. Through Jesus, they started a movement of peace and love that eclipsed and outlasted the might of the Roman Empire. These guys turned the world upside down. Jesus is still recruiting, by the way. He's recruiting a team of people to join up with him and change the world. You don't have to be the coolest, smartest, strongest, most beautiful, or talented person to be on Jesus' team. He isn't looking for the most gifted or religious people. His first disciples were frankly a bunch of punks that he changed with love. And now Jesus wants you. He chooses you for his team. He has amazing stuff for you to do. And as a result, the world will never be the same. When Jesus chose his crew, Mark says that he appointed them to be apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out. They weren't the most gifted people in the world, but their job was to be with him, who gave them everything that they would need. Yeah, some of them hated each other, but they were with him. And then his love changed them, so that they began to love one another. You might not feel like the kind of person who can make an impact, but Jesus doesn't need talented people. He wants people who just want to be with him. If you love Jesus, you're perfect for this job. He's the one who makes you able to carry out his will. You don't have to be the smartest, the strongest, the prettiest, the coolest, the wealthiest, or anything else. All you have to be is his. Jesus wants to change the world, and he's calling your number. What do you say? You in?
What did you make me for? What are you calling me to? What do you have in store? If I go my life.